Welcome. I'm Jenny Ray, an independent consultant with the Military Families Learning Network Family Transitions team. Our team provides education, resources, and networking opportunities for military family service professionals as they help military families build resilience and navigate life cycle transitions. We invite you to engage with us and your colleagues in conversations on military life cycle issues. In this Let's Talk Transitions podcast, I chat with Mr. Brian Locke, the director of the GV Sonny Montgomery Center for America's Veterans, located at Mississippi State University. Our conversation is centered on Mr. Locke's role as the director at the center and how he and his staff help student veterans and family members achieve the goal of pursuing higher education. This episode will conclude with Mr. Locke sharing helpful strategies for working with student veterans and family members, such as developing trust when offering support. Welcome, Mr. Locke. It's a pleasure having you here.
Great to be here.
Could you share with our listeners a little bit about yourself, you know, a brief background about your personal and professional life?
Yeah, so, you know, I started off in the military, so I spent 23 years on active duty. So I just retired from the military. Well, I say just retired. Actually, it's been about 2.5 years ago now. My last military assignment was here at Mississippi State University, and I was a professor of military science. So I did that for about 3.5 years and then got ready to retire, and the job as the director of the center here kind of opened up and kind of fell into that role.
Wow, that's really cool. So I'm sure you've seen both sides of being active and then now serving veterans themselves, and that's pretty exciting.
I think it's a nice fit, you know, having been on the side where I've, you know, had soldiers for my entire career and seeing them transition out of the military, and then also having the opportunity to work at a university for 3.5 years. So I got to see that side of it as well. So it was really just kind of a nice fit to be able to transition over and kind of do both, to be able to work with veterans and work with folks who wanted to go to school. So it's been a win-win, I think, for us.
I think so, too. That's very fitting. Very fitting career. So what is it that you do as the director of the Sonny Montgomery Center for Americans Veterans?
Yeah, so primarily what we do is we assist those student veterans and family members with VA educational benefits. Obviously, that's kind of a tricky process, depending on what benefit you're eligible for. And we do a lot of transitional support assistance, you know, for folks who have served in the military, whether it's, you know, 4 years or 10 years, transitioning out of the military and transitioning into higher education can sometimes be very difficult. So we assist them with that process. And then we like to provide a lot of programs and services for our student veterans and family members. They go here at Mississippi State as well to help them feel connected. We have a very nice facility here that's dedicated just to student veterans and family members. And we provide them with computer lab and individual study rooms and free printing, faxing, and copying. And then we try to look at those programs and services that we can do for them to help ease their transition, you know, into higher education.
Okay, that's fantastic.
Yeah, we enjoy it. I mean, it's a fun job. We get to, here again, work with our student veterans and military families every day. It can be challenging sometimes because we have a large number of student veterans and dependents here at Mississippi State, but we enjoy it.
Okay. So what are, you know, you talked about challenges in serving a big clientele. What are some of the significant challenges that you've noticed student veterans facing as they make that transition to civilian life and then into the higher education world?
Yeah, you know, for a lot of them, you know, it's that new identity that they're trying to grapple with just a little bit. You know, they're not a service member anymore, but they don't necessarily feel like a student quite yet either, you know, because many of them are older than their average, you know, college student. Most of our student veterans are somewhere between the ages of 24 and 40. So when then they're sitting in a classroom with someone that's 18 or 19 years old, you know, sometimes the difficulty of, you know, relating to them is kind of difficult. Many of them have a lot of financial struggles. You know, as you can imagine, they had a set income when they were in the military and health care and those kind of things. When they transitioned to the higher education, it's very expensive. And even though they may have some type of educational benefit, a lot of our student veterans are married or have children. You're trying to maintain a part-time job and a full-time college schedule. we see those kind of issues. And the typical issues you see with military folks, you know, they just don't reach out. They think they can kind of handle things on their own. And there's not really a structured process in higher education. So the whole, from the application process, you know, through their orientation, there's not a structured process like they were used to in the military. And that's where we try to fill the gap in with those folks and kind of be a one-stop shop that they can come to us and we can help them, you know, literally from the application process, hopefully all the way through to graduation.
Okay. And what kind of resources do you offer? Is it more of like the counseling aspect or just kind of being there and, you know, reaching out in different ways?
So, yeah, there's, you know, so talking about from admissions all the way through, so I have a pretty large staff here, so I have 8 folks on staff. So I have an admissions counselor. So I have an admissions counselor here that can start them from the very beginning to help them transition into higher education. I have 2 GI Bill certifying officials. So any kind of GI Bill paperwork that they need to help out with, they can do that. Also have someone who can do the federal tuition assistance for the services that allow that program. I have what's called an outreach coordinator, who's really the initial person that many of our student veterans see when they come in the door, but also does some recruiting and goes around the country and tells folks, hey, Mississippi State would be a great university for you to come to. I have a program coordinator who does our programs and services. Like I said, we do a number of programs. I have a veteran fitness program that we do every semester. We have a veteran horsemanship program that we've done for about 2 years now, a veteran golf program. We're about to do a veteran fishing clinic here in a couple of weeks. So just really anything that we can do to kind of help them ease that transition. We have a very active student veteran association here that does all kind of activities from tailgating on football games to activities within the community and volunteer work. So
that's awesome. So you're kind of just building up a small informal network for them to kind of go to the university, and then they have a place to have an avenue of connecting with other fellow student veterans as well.
Yeah, there's no doubt that, you know, veterans and military folks feel comfortable around other military and veteran folks, and that's part of what our facility is. We have, like I said, our own standalone facility. You know, have a lounge down there. We do a lot of cookouts and barbecues. And then with the help of our Student Veteran Association, you know, they get to be around other veterans and other military folks or even other military dependents who have like experiences. And of course, you know, many of those have been here at the university for a couple of years, for 3 years, so they can help the newer folks that are coming in, the new freshmen or the transfer student that's coming in to kind of transition through the process.
Yeah, I wonder if that looks kind of like a peer-to-peer or a mentor kind of program, or is it you just kind of allow people to connect amongst themselves?
Yeah, there's very much a peer-to-peer.
Okay.
And what we've tried to do in the past for folks who would want it, because we kind of host our own orientation. So for new students coming in, if they would like to be paired, you know, with a mentor, we call it our Veteran Navigators Program. If they want to be paired up with a mentor, we'll pair them up with somebody. Typically, we really don't have to pair them up with anybody. They find people, or our Student Veteran Association kind of reaches out to them.
Okay.
And then they kind of make those connections really on their own. So
that's good.
Definitely peer-to-peer works very nice.
Yeah. I can imagine it'd be nice just to kind of help navigate and understand the university life as well, and just kind of what classes to take and what degrees, you know, other people are doing as well.
Yeah. And you know, hey, what professor, you know, you should take, or, you know, we teach a program to our staff and faculty that's called Green Zone. So which of those, you know, staff and faculties have been through our Green Zone training and understand about veteran issues and military issues and those kind of things as well.
Oh, wow. That's great. Could you tell me a little bit more about what that workshop is about?
Yeah. So, you know, every semester I usually teach 2 classes. We call them Green Zone Volunteers. So it's basically staff and faculty who volunteer to come to this training. And we're really just kind of looking for someone who cares about issues or concerns that are faced by our, you know, student veterans or active duty military students. You know, someone who's willing to be available to assist them if they can.
You know, we don't expect them to solve every problem, and don't expect them to, be experts on veteran issues, but at least know the resources, you know, that are available to them. And this training that we provide, it's about 3 hours long, and it also includes a panel of student veterans. That's about an hour part of that training, and they get the opportunity to tell the staff and faculty what their experiences were as they transitioned out of the military, you know, into higher education. Both the good and the bad, you know, so we can look at ways that we can improve it, you know, for them. So that's been a very popular program for us.
Wow, I really like that.
Yeah, it's a good program.
Yeah, and I'm sure it sounds like the student veterans as well as the faculty can kind of learn from one another, and then they can kind of build from there. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, we also have a pretty large population of staff and faculty who are veterans ourselves. So those who have self-reported to the university, you know, have been, you know, a veteran themselves. We have almost 80 of those here. So that helps as well to have some folks that are on the staff and faculty that understand, hey, what it's like to be in the military and be a veteran. So that's definitely helpful.
Yeah, I can see. I can see how that would be very helpful.
Sure.
Yeah. Do you have, you know, student veterans that kind of talk to you about their experience? So on these panels, I guess, do they share any differences that they've seen amongst themselves, you know, and then comparing to a traditional college student? Do they describe this experience as, you know, like difficult?
No, okay. It's a very good question. And yes, they do. So, you know, I tell the staff and faculty when we get to the training that it's going to be very honest training session where most of the folks that are on the panel are going to be very honest with you about what their experiences are and how that may relate in the classroom. You know, for example, if they, you know, may have an issue with, you know, post-traumatic stress, or if there's some other issue they may have that makes it difficult for them to focus in the classroom, or just the insensitivity of maybe your other classmates. I know that sounds bad, but, you know, here again, if you've got a student veteran that's got experiences in the military, that has served in combat, that has been around the world, they're in a classroom with someone that's 18 or 19 years old that maybe 6 months ago was in high school.
Yeah.
You know, that's kind of a difficult thing for them to go. And, you know, many of the topics sometimes, you know, in higher education may be a controversial topic that they don't want to get involved with. So many times they'll kind of sit back and kind of be quiet in the classroom and not engage in some of the conversations. And it's just the typical things that we consider respect and discipline in the military. Many of our student veterans in the classroom are aggravated if their fellow student comes in late or leaves the class early, or they're on their cell phone or sleeping during class. So you hear them talk about these things all the time because, you know, in the military world, you know, we're taught to respect that authority, and that professor in front of the class is that authority. And, you know, it's just a different way that they were brought up and coming into higher education and seeing things from a different level. It's just sometimes very frustrating for them, you know, to try to navigate until they can really kind of figure it out.
Sure. The difference of structure and
exactly.
I can relate to that as well.
Sure. Most of them like structure, you know. They probably wouldn't admit that, but I mean, they like the structure and they're very conditioned to the structure. So.
Yeah, the conditioning, and they just, you know, it was part of their life for how many years. So
that's right.
So in the Green Zone, those trainings, and at the Veteran Center, what are those specific resources that you guys have available then for the student veterans? Is there counseling available? I don't know any other ones that I'm, you talked about programs, exactly. Recreational activities.
A lot of what we do on the university is partnerships that we have.
Okay.
You know, so I have a great partnership with our student counseling center, you know, here at Mississippi State. You know, I always kind of like to say is I end up doing a lot of counseling kind of on my own here. Mm-hmm. But most of it is really just listening. So many of our student veterans, if they want to vent or they're frustrated about something, many times they just want somebody to talk to.
Yeah.
And they just want somebody to kind of listen to their issues. So a lot of times we're that person that they can listen to their issues and really explain things to them from a different perspective. couple of my staff, several of my staff have also been in the military and veterans, so we can relate to them and we can explain things to them in either a military or veteran specific way of why things are done the way they're done, you know, here at a university. But there have been times when, you know, I've had to reach out, you know, to the counseling center and, you know, get some folks some real assistance that they needed. And each and every time we've been able to do that, it's been a very successful process that we've been able to help folks out. I also have what's called a veteran service officer that works for us here in the building, and she can help out with other, you know, VA-related issues, whether you're trying to do a medical claim or you want to, you're interested in the home loan through the VA. So mm-hmm. other process that's outside of what we do here in higher education, but is related to VA issues. We have that asset that's here available. I'm on a couple of different, you know, I say committees or task force or things that, you know, we talk with the other organizations on campus about, you know, student veterans issues. And we're at a very military friendly, veteran friendly university, so, you know, a lot of what we bring up and a lot of what we implement, you know, is pretty easy for us here because we have such a great support, you know, from the president, you know, on down to implement those things that we want to do.
Sure, that's good. You need that support from the way up top, and then it trickles down.
That's right. Yeah.
And so I wonder if the teachers who volunteer for the Green Zone trainings or the people that meet educational staff for these task force that you mentioned, what do you do if there's student veterans that don't want to reach out? I think this is kind of one of the bigger challenges that even military bases are facing, with military families kind of just, you know, they're struggling, but they have a difficult time reaching out. And is there anything that you guys kind of do to help and, you know, help with that?
Yeah, I mean, that's a serious issue everywhere, you know, in terms of veteran issues. But I think, you know, kind of our focus is that, you know, we just don't give up. You know, we always put that information out. We always make sure that folks, you know we're available. You know, we never write anybody off. So it's just a continued process. You know, there are those veterans out there that, you know, their military service is part of their past, and they don't necessarily identify so much with the military, and they're kind of looking to the future, and that's okay. You know, that's the way they want to go, and that's the path they have chosen. But it's just a constant battle of always letting folks know, hey, this is what we do, this is why we're here, and we're here for you, and here's what we offer. So we do a lot of stuff on social media to try to get our information out. We do a lot of things around campus when there's different campus activities, you know, so our name's out there. When we do orientation, we set up in the location where orientation is going on, so those families and those veterans can come by and kind of get to know us. So really, it's a never-ending process. You're just constantly putting that information out and let folks know, hey, we're here for you. That's the only reason why we're here. And if you ever need us, you know, please come see us. And, you know, sometimes folks may be here for a couple years and then, you know, they finally do come see us.
Yeah.
And you know, so we just reach them any way we can.
Good. That's good. It's good to be persistent and continue to offer the support.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
What are some tips or implications that you might want to share with our listeners? So our listeners are generally those that are like you, working with military families, and they're just out there. They're kind of looking for some resources or some suggestions. What are things that you might want to share with them to help make this transition to higher education smooth?
Yeah, you know, and this is part of kind of what I teach during the Green Zone training that I tell kind of staff and faculty. And I think the most important thing with your dealing with this population is to develop a trust. Mm. You know, once you develop that trust and they know you're going to do, you know, what you say you're going to do, and that you know that you're really going to help them out, or at least attempt to help them out, you know, that's really important for this, you know, population. You know, their whole military career and everything that they've done has been based on a level of trust in folks that they have.
Mm.
And then also say, you know, be genuine. You know, folks know if you really are trying to help them out, you really are going to do what you say you're going to do. Folks know that, and they really understand that, and be purposeful in what you're trying, you know, to accomplish for them. So when I talk to, you know, my veterans or service members, you know, I never give them false promises. You know, I'm always very upfront with them, you know, whether that's the answer that they want to hear or not. And I think they appreciate that, to be told, hey, this is the way things kind of are, and this is the way things have to be in some cases. And then, you know, you really need to be patient. You know, I know that sounds very simple, but, you know, you have to be patient with this population. You know, sometimes it's very simple that when we deal with folks, you can tell that they're very frustrated. And we try to, you know, ease that frustration for them and kind of get them through the process. And a good deal of what I do, and I said this earlier, I think, was just being a listener. So a lot of folks, they just want somebody to kind of listen to them and kind of hear their issues, because they've had things that are going on that makes them frustrated, and they really just kind of want somebody to talk to. And it's amazing how much better they feel sometimes if they get the opportunity to kind of tell their side of the story. And it's very important, I think, particularly for us, is that you got to know what resources are available to them. So you can't be in office and say you're going to help veterans or student veterans or family members, and then when they come to you, not be able to give them the resources that they need. So if you don't have the answer, you need to know where to send them, who to send them to, you know, with not bouncing them all around campus to six different people and then still not getting the answer that they want. So
yeah,
it's probably a long answer, but there's a number of things, I guess.
I appreciate all those suggestions, and I think those are very related to, you know, working with military families in general.
Yeah.
I think, and I like the building trust one the best, I sure. think.
No, yeah. it's very vital, I think. It's very vital. Because if you ever lose it, then, you know, they're probably not going to talk to you again. They're probably done.
And I think maybe, so they might have lost that trust with others. And, you know, that might be some reason why some military families might be struggling to reach out.
Yeah, and I would tell them, hey, look, there's a lot of good people out there that still want to help you, so don't give up.
Yeah.
You know, you can't base your experiences on just a few. There generally is a lot of people who want to help military families, and, you know, not only am I, you know, a veteran, former military, but, you know, I have three kids, you know, I'm married, two kids are in college, you know, so not only do I experience things from my role here, but I also experience them as a parent, you know, as well, so...
Yeah, so lots of related topics that I'm sure you can share with.
Okay. I honestly appreciate the opportunity to be able to share, you know, just a little bit, you know, about what we do. And, you know, our goal is to help, you know, student veterans, family members, you know, pursue their higher education. My goal is for them to complete their goal. And if their goal is to get a degree, you know, whatever we can do, you know, to help them out, you know, both service members, you know, and family members. So I have about a little over 2,100 students within my population that are military dependent. So even though most of our conversation dealt with our student veterans, my biggest population actually is military dependent. So it's certainly a different category that we deal with. But we want to treat them exactly the same as we do our student veterans and give them just as much support. Because here again, you know, I'm a father, I'm a husband, so it's just important to me, you know, as a veteran, if you're taking care of me, to also take care of my family. And
Definitely.
That's what we try to do here as well.
And I think you're doing a great job at that.
Thank you.
And I also very much appreciate you sharing what the Veterans Center does at Mississippi State. And I want it to be a goal for other universities across the U.S. to, you know, kind of implement some of these strategies as well and make them themselves much more military and student veteran friendly, because I think some campuses are struggling a little bit with that.
Yeah, and I agree. And, you know, it's really catching on. But, you know, we would love to be the example of other universities out there and help them do some of the same things. Because, like I said, you know, regardless of where they want to go to higher education, we want them to have a good experience. And it helps having a veteran center to ease that transition.
Yeah, definitely. I agree. Oh, I really appreciate your time.
No, thank you.
I behalf of all of us at the Military Families Learning Network Family Transitions Team, we thank you so much, Mr. Locke, for joining us today. For those listening today, thank you for joining us. I encourage you to refer to the resources mentioned in this podcast on our website under the list entitled Additional Materials. We encourage our listeners to check out other podcasts, blogs, and free webinars from our Military Families Learning Network Family Transitions website at militaryfamilies.extension.org/family-transitions.
This material is based on work supported by the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Office of Military Family Readiness Policy, U.S. Department of Defense Award Number 2015-48770-24368.